Well, I'm glad to see all of you. Glad that the hardships and diseases and ailments of life hadn't got you down so much that you don't want to praise God. And I hope it never does. Even when we're on our deathbed, I hope that we are able to praise God for the life that He's given us and for the things that we're blessed with. I've had a few things on my mind, but I want to look at something that's found in Galatians. I found this a while back, and I thought about it a little bit, and I'm gonna read from the fourth chapter of Galatians. I'm not gonna read the whole chapter, but the whole chapter deals with the very same thing. It just gives a couple of different examples and different things, you know. But what I'm going to read, I think, expresses the thoughts a lot closer to give us answers. What I'm going to read starts out with a question, and I like questions because most of the time, a question in the Bible is answered in Scripture. And so if you have a question about something that you've been thinking about for you know, a long time, or maybe hadn't even thought about the question, hadn't even really thought about it, that particular idea, it gives you a question, and then it gives you the answer to the question. So, it, starting out in the 21st verse there, it says, "Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law?" And that's a good question. Okay, you want to be under the Levitical law. Do you hear what it's actually saying? Do you realize what you're asking for? Do you realize what you've actually said in saying that you want to live under the law? You want to have more of the law service in the Galatian church? Because remember, he had already told them in the third chapter, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you?" So they had been deceived, and they had been they were trying to bring in circumcision and bring in old law into their service. And okay, tell me, you want to live under the law? Don't you hear what the law is saying? And then he goes on. He goes, "For it is written that Abraham," and that brings up another point. You know, when we think about the Levitical law, we think about Leviticus, and when it says the Ten Commandments, you know, under Moses, whenever he gave the Ten Commandments, okay, so here's where the law started. But the Apostle Paul, he goes all the way back to Genesis, and he says that that's part of the law. "For it is written that Abraham," because he's talking about the law. You want to be under the law? Okay, here's what the law says. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar," or Hagar, "the mother of Ishmael. Which things are an allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. And he's referring to the children of God, not all of mankind. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou shalt break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So, you want to be under the law. You're what you're in what and taking that back, because he says, which things are an allegory? So he's using characters from the Bible, from the law, from Scripture, to prove a point that he's making. And he's using them to show the relationship between those that are under the law and the church, the children of God that are in the church, to explain that we're not under the law. We're free from the law. And we've been freed from the law by promise, the promised seed of Christ, that we are freed from the law by that promised seed, and that we are no longer under the law. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Well, he had a lot more children than that, if you go back and read. But the two children that he's referencing here, one was from a bondwoman that was because he got ahead of God. He went outside of what God had promised him. He went outside of what he should have done, and he had a child by that, and that child, Ishmael, or this what he refers to, this bond woman, and explains that she was bond. She wasn't a free woman. She was bond. She was the servant of Sarah. So she was in a bondage relationship. And she was bound to do the things that Sarah and Abraham wanted her to. Whereas Sarah was free. Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. That was the character and the nature of Ishmael. And that is the character and relationship that of those that those Galatians that still wanted to be under the law. They still wanted to be bound to something. They wanted to be bound to that. And that they wanted to bring to control. And we're free from that. We don't have the control of the law. What he's explaining here is that we are children of promise, and that promise was given before Isaac was born. Our relationship with God was before we were ever born. It was before the foundation of the world, in fact. It was a relationship before time began. It was a relationship with God that he had in mind, and he wanted a relationship with children that he chose out of every family, out of every nation, out of every tongue. And it was a relationship that he wanted. And he's using the two women, or the two births, to explain that. I'm going to stop right here. I hope that you've gotten something out of that. But Brother Gary has a lot on his mind. So,
you know.
So I'm going to stop right there.
I was listening to you.
And there, I'm going to guess that what God has given him will add to what I've discussed. So God bless y'all.
I'm thankful for Brother Joe. He could very easily say, I've had this surgery. I can't get out. My back hurts. I'm drawing disability now. He could easily say, I can't come to church. But what does he do? You know, he drives himself now to church. His grandkids and his daughter help him put his little upright walker there in the car, and here he comes to church. He backs up out there, and I don't rush out there to help him because he likes to do it himself. It's good exercise. He did say he'll need help putting it back in the trunk, but I'm thankful for him for the you've been a blessing to this church you had the privilege to serve the Odessa Church for many years, and then as it kind of died out and went away, the Lord provided for you and gave you a home here with us, and we're thankful that you are here with us. And I enjoyed what he had to say. Let's go to Genesis, the 16th chapter, and let's kind of look at the history of what he was talking about, what actually happened and what was said. Paul was telling the Galatian people, hey, do you know what you're doing here? You know what you're talking about? You want to be under the law? You want to be circumcised? You want to do these things? You don't know what you're talking about. It's basically what he was saying. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me for bearing. I pray thee, go unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. So Sarah was kind of in the flesh. She wanted children, but she couldn't bear any children. And she said, well, she saw a solution. If her husband Abraham would go into Hagar and bear a child, and it could be her child. So they're trying to, they're telling the Lord, you know, the Lord promised them that he would have a child. He promised them that they would have children. But they got impatient. Well, they're in a hurry. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and And Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she had saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarah had contempt. Now here, I did this, but now look, I'm despised. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she was conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judges between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleases thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of to Shur. So Sarah got mad and cast her out, got angry with her, and she fled. And this is kind of the backside, the history of what Brother Joe was talking about. It didn't turn out well. Anytime that we decide that we need to help the Lord in our situation, well, I need to do this because I think this is what the Lord should do, it's not going to work out good. I want to go back over there now where you were. You were in Galatians.
Galatians 4.
So what does Paul tell us about all this? He's telling us this story. The 31st verse of that fourth chapter, he says, So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. He's pointing out to them, we're not under the law. We're not obligated to the bondwoman. We're not under the law, but we're of the free. Fifth chapter. So then he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
Stand fast. Be firm. I guess that's what stand fast means. Stand fast. Be firm. In the liberty wherein Christ has given us and has made us free. Free from what? Free from the law. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, what he's saying here, if you following that law and the circumcision of the law, you got to hold up all of the law, which no man was able to do except for who? Christ was able to fulfill the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified of the law, you are law, you are fallen for grace. For if we through the Spirit wait for the hope, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ had neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Let's look. Drop down to the 13th verse. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Brethren, you have liberty from that law. Christ has paid the price for you. You have the liberty to live and follow Christ and not worry about the articles of the law. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now Paul's cautioning them, it's not your works, it's not your ability to fulfill the law, it's the grace of Christ our Savior, but he's cautioning them, and I don't get high-minded and say, well, if I'm saved by grace, the people will tell us that if they believe what we did, they'd do this. If I'm saved by grace, I ain't going to do anything I want to. and nothing will go wrong. But Paul's cautioning them. Ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What are we to do? lovingly serve one another. I talked about picking people up and helping them get to church. That's serving your fellow man, your fellow brother or sister. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not be consumed one to the other. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What is he saying? If you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to have time nor the desire to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does that make sense? Did y'all hear something slam out there? Oh, Katie went to the restroom. All right. Okay. I'm sorry, y'all. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. The flesh is going to pull on you. The flesh is going to say, now let's turn over here and do this. You know, it's really a nice day. It's Sunday. I should go to church. But it's a beautiful day. And some of my friends are going out to the lake. And they're taking a picnic basket. And they're going to sit there and really have a good time. I'm really inclined. My flesh is pulling me that way. Instead of the Spirit, I'm going to turn from the Spirit and go do the things I fleshly want to do and not follow the lead of the Spirit. For if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now here's the things that the flesh will get you. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's not all of them. He got tired of saying them. Such like. There's a lot of things just like that that he didn't even list here. That's what following the works of the flesh will get you. You'll fall into these things. As I have told you, As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, did he say if you do these things, you're not going to go to heaven? No, what he's pointing out there, if you follow after the flesh, you're not going to inherit the love and the fellowship of the kingdom of God, which is his church here on earth. You're not going to be able to be part of that. You can't do things that will bring reproach upon the Lord's church and then come in on Sunday and say, I wanted y'all to sweep my cloak off and make me feel like I'm clean. I want to be seen of men that I go to church, when all along you're following the fruit of the flesh. I told you in time past that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But then he says, but, and I'm glad for the buts in the scriptures, you know. Here's the good side. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the Spirit that I've been talking to you about. You're not of the bondwoman, you're of the free. You have the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. What are they? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law against all of that. It's easy to follow that. You don't have to do special things to follow that.
That's it. That's right.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. These are beautiful things to me. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I heard it said one time by one of our preacher brethren, and I liked what he says. I believe it was our elder Lonnie Mazingo. He was from Mississippi, I believe. He said, the fruit of the Spirit, that first fruit, love, that encases the whole thing. The rest of those things all follow under love. If you love... and you show love, You're going to feel joy, which is the next fruit. You're going to have peace. You're going to have patience, gentleness, goodness, faith. Now, that's interesting. Faith, that's something that the world likes to use. Well, if you just get faith, you got to have faith. If you get faith and ask Jesus to come into your heart, then you'll be born again and you'll be saved. Well, this is telling us that faith is a fruit of what? Of the Spirit. You cannot have faith until the Spirit is given to you. How's the Spirit given to you? You're born again. How does that happen? How many times have we talked about this in the third chapter of John? The wind bloweth where it listeth. You can't tell where it come from, where it going. Such is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And when you're born of the Spirit of God, Paul's telling us here, the fruit of the Spirit. Okay. Do you take fruit? Comes off of trees and plants and things. Here's the Spirit, and it gives off fruit, and he's telling us what that is. Here's what we're going to have coming in us. We have it in us if we're born again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. There's no law against all of that. There was a young lady walked into my music store Friday, I believe it was. And she kind of looked around. I said, ma'am, how can I help you? He says, well, is there a bookstore, a Christian bookstore in this mall? I said, no, ma'am, we don't have a Christian bookstore here. And I don't even think we have a Christian bookstore in town. I said, I think Walmart may have a little section of Christian items. And she said, well, I was really wanting to find a book that I'm looking for. I said, well, what book are you looking for? Well, I don't know a particular name, but I'd like to have a Bible that's written for children. I said, well, that's a good thing. I said, how old is your child that you want this Bible for? She says, well, it's not for a child, it's for me. I said, really? She said, yeah. She says, I can't understand the Bible. And I figured if I had a Bible that was written for children, that it would be easier for me to understand. And so that's what I'm looking for. I said, well, do you have a Bible? She says, yes, I do. I said, well, what Bible do you have? And I think she said she had the Living Bible. I said, well, so you're not able to get anything from that? She says, no, it doesn't make any sense to me. I said, I want to share something with you right now, young lady. And she was maybe in her 30s, mid-30s, and it was obvious that she'd lived a kind of a rough life. You could tell, I mean, she wasn't dressed real well. She was clean. But here she was, had a desire to find the Word of God where she could read it and understand it. I said, let me tell you something that's sweet. And I asked her what her name was, and I don't remember what it was, and I should remember that. But here's something beautiful and sweet I want to tell you about. She says, what's that? I said, you have that desire to find out about the Scriptures of the Lord and find out about Christ and find out the truth of the Scriptures because you have been born again already, and Christ gave you this desire. She says, what? I said, that's been given to you. It's a gift from God. The Spirit of God is dwelling inside of you right now. She says, well, how do you know that? I said, because you're showing all the fruit of the Spirit. And I went through, I told her about the fruit of the Spirit, and having a desire to do right and to follow, you're confused. You want to know. You're searching. I said, let's look at Matthew. I don't remember. I think it's the 11th chapter. And if I can't find it real quick, I've got it in my little cheater here. My phone, I got it in my notes. So here we go. 11th chapter, 28th verse. I told her, this is Christ speaking. This is Jesus Christ, your eternal Savior. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I said, you're laboring and you're heavy laden because you have this desire to know, but you're not happy with what you know right now. You're heavy laden. You want to know more. You want to understand better. I asked her if she was going to a church, and she said, well, I've been here, I've been there, I've been, you know, she's, but she said, I can't find understanding. They're not giving me what I need. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you eternal salvation. Now, if you're following me in the scriptures, is that what it said? No. What did it say? Rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're not going to have to labor. You're not going to be heavy laden anymore about your soul and your salvation, because you're going to learn of me. Christ is going to teach you. The Holy Spirit is going to give you comfort. Going to give you peace. Going to give you joy. If you listen to that voice that comes in, he'll teach you. Let's see if I'm talking right. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now that learn of me is not learning about me. Is let me teach you. Learn of me. Listen to what I've got to tell you. I'm going to give you these things. For I am meek. Got to turn my page. And lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's got an easy yoke to put on you. We still have a yoke. If we have a yoke of the world, if we're trying to justify ourselves in the eyes of the world and in the living by the law, you can't do that. And that's a heavy yoke. But you take on the yoke of Christ, what have you got to do? What is it to do? What kind of yoke is that? You've got the truth around you. You're yoked with that. You need to, and the scriptures tell us, to follow him, to do the things that he would have you to do. Live a good life. Worship his name. Follow him in spirit and in truth. That's an easy thing to do. Do you have a burden doing that? No, it's not a burden following the Lord and doing the things that he wants you to do. It's joyous. You get to come among people like this right here. Do you love these saints of God that are sitting right here? I know you do. I'll answer that question for you. You look forward to this Sunday of being here and seeing each other. I look forward to seeing you all. And I look forward to seeing who might show up today that's not normally here. Because I have a burden for those of our congregation that are not, you know, able to be here as much. I look forward to seeing all of you. And it's a joyous thing when we can come together and sing praises to his grand and glorious name. Where the soul of man doth never dies, I'm on my way to that great land, fair land. Where the soul of man never dies. The Lord's going to come back. We talked about that. He's going to come back with a shout. The dead are going to come bursting out of the graves. He's going to bring our souls with him. Because our soul never dies. Our body and soul and spirit will all be put back together. And we'll be given a new body. We'll be changed in the likeness of him. You know, I'll finally feel like I'm pretty when that happens. You know, he's going to give us, and I'm not worried about what I look like, you know. I'm happy that it's going to happen. I'm happy that he's promised that he'll do that. Do you believe he'll do it? I do believe it. And I just assume he come now and get it over with so we can all go and be together and praise forever. And I don't care about, will I know my mother or my wife or whatever? We're going to know each other. We're going to love each other with perfect love. Everybody that's there, you're going to love as intently as anybody you've loved in your life. You're going to have that kind of joy and peace. And we're going to sing. You think it's going to be pretty? I think we're going to have wonderful singing. And I think food's going to be awesome. I think there'll be a buffet there. And it's spread out. And we can eat of that food, the fruit of the Spirit of God. I don't know if we're going to eat actual food. But if we do, it's going to be good food. It's going to be happy. And we're going to have happiness and joy and peace. I'm ready. Anybody else ready? So I'm thankful for each and every one of you, and I'm thankful for Brother Joe bringing this to us this morning. And I love that story that he brought out to us. And we're not of the bondwoman. We're of the free. We don't have to justify ourselves in the eyes of the Lord. We don't have to justify the law. We don't have to do that because Christ came and took it on himself and paid for our sins and justified that law himself. And we are, when he died, we are buried with him. He died. He was crucified. He was buried. But praise the Lord, he was resurrected. And he's now on the right hand of God, interceding with us forever. Come on back, Christ. Let's sing a song.